deep breath and ask, do you have a real grudge? No, we don't even have a car. We have a 2-car board. Ma'am, please, does your husband ever beat you up? Yes, he gets up every morning before I do.
The green light is on. I'm not going to repeat the funny. Well, lady, that judge is frustrated. Lady, why do you want to get a divorce? Oh, I don't want a divorce, she replied. I've never wanted a divorce. My husband does. The idiot says he can't communicate with me. Communication is tough, isn't it? It is tough. Today we're going to look at a lesson, the high cost of loving. Let me share something and we'll get right into the lesson. A winter's day in dark December, I'm alone gazing from my window to the street below. Freshly fallen silent snow. I'm a rock. I'm an island. I build walls, a fortress deep and mighty, that none may penetrate. I have no need of friendships. Friendships, they cause pain. It's laughing, it's loving that I disdain. I'm a rock. I'm an island. Now, don't talk to me of love. I've heard that word before. In fact, it is sleeping in my memory. I won't disturb this feeling of slumber that has died. If I had never loved, I would have never cried. I'm a rock. I'm an island. I have books and my poetry to protect me, and I am sheltered in my armor, hiding in my room, safe in my womb. I touch no one, and no one touches me. I'm a rock. I'm an island. Rocks feel no pain. Islands never cry. The first time I heard that, I thought, is that the way it is? Is that the way we are as a body of Christ? That we've become a rock or an island? Someone criticizes us. Someone says something about this family. Somebody says something about the leadership. Somebody says something about the person that sits over here. Somebody sitting over there. And we've become... And then we say, no longer, I'm not going anymore. Give me God, but I don't want anything to do with the church. I'll keep my God, and we become a rock. We become an island. You see, islands don't feel any pain, and rocks are rocks. And when I cry, if I'd have never loved, I'd have never cried. I'd have never cried. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, starting in verse 20, but how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong? Did you hear that right there? How is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called. I need to read that one again. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin. And no deceit was found in his mouth. And when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. And when he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. And by his wounds, you're healed. Let's talk to God. Father, what a blessing to be healed by the Savior. Be healed by the Redeemer. When we've cried, when we've hurt, when we've been ridiculed, when we've been talked about, when our name has been slandered, and if we'd have never loved, we'd have never cried. But thank you, Father, for walking with us because we know you understand. Because you walk with us and you understand the treatment of your son that happened to your son. And then 3 days later, he was resurrected. And God, thank you for resurrecting us from the nasty and the ugly and the selfishness that we deal with. And that, God, that we get to pick up our armor and walk, and we take the boots that you've given us, the breastplate of righteousness and the sword of the Spirit. Thank you for giving us the tools for battle. And God, help us to never forget that we get to pray. Thank you for this family. And God, as we join our hearts together, that you receive the glory. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. My buddy buried his daughter. Someone killed her. He knew the person that killed his daughter. 2 years later, he's burying his second daughter. You get close to someone and they betray you. And you open up to someone and they manipulate you. And they disappoint you. So what do we do? You know, if that's the way it is, if I'm going to love somebody, if that's the way it is, Paul, Bible class teachers, hey, if that's the way it is, I'm not going to teach any of your kids' classes. If that's the way it is as a leader, I'm not going to serve as a leader because, hey, if that's the way it is, we love people, we love the body of Christ, now take on the entire membership and the fellow who's leading this flock or the quarterback of the club or the... If that's the way it is when we love and somebody betrays us, if that's the way it is in raising children, is that the way it is as a parent? Is that the way it is as a grandparent? Is that the way it is as a soldier of the cross? Is that the way it is in driving a van? Is that the way it is when you wipe a runny nose kid? Is that the way it is when you study and you serve and you teach and you love and you teach and you love and then that kid goes to prison, they go to jail and they go to prison and you say, what happened to all that? If I'd have never loved, I'd have never cried. The hunter takes his bird dog hunting and the hunter's excited and the quail jump. They start moving and all of a sudden that hunter fires a shot, and he fires that shot too soon, and he blisters that bird dog. And now you go over and visit that hunter's place of residence, and someone slams the door, and that bird dog takes off and hides behind the shed. That bird dog, like us, has drawn certain conclusions about life because that bird dog got burned. We allow ourselves to open up and we get burned and we get hurt because we love deeply and we walk away and we get blistered and we say no more. Any rocks here today? Any islands here this morning? If I'd have never loved, I'd have never cried. That's right. And you and I would never stand in that funeral home. You and I would never stand in that hospital waiting room and be there beside us or beside ourselves, only by ourselves in that waiting room while our loved ones in surgery. And we're waiting for an answer, waiting for the doctor, waiting for someone to show up and waiting. And if I'd have never loved, I'd have never cried. And I visited with that fella and in this large waiting area, and he's sitting there by himself, and his bride is on the seventh floor. And I'm wondering, who's with his bride? And who's with this man? No one. And if I'd have never loved, I'd have never cried. My buddy pled with his daughter not to go to South Africa. His only daughter, please don't go. I'll never see you again. 5 years later, her life was taken in Africa. She was a member of a three-member team, husband and wife and a single fella. Finally, they got another lady to come and join this wonderful lady and this wonderful couple as they're serving our Father and teaching souls about the gospel and about the cross. And my buddy said, Ron, I'll never see my baby again. And they delivered her in a put-together casket in South Africa, and on top of that box was a 6-inch by 8-inch window where he could look inside to see his baby. He didn't show up to see her the last time. He said, Ron, I didn't want her to go. Yeah, I know what she was doing. Yeah, I know she loved the Lord. If I'd have never loved, I'd have never cried. In Mark chapter 8 and verse 27 says, Jesus and his disciples went to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked them, who do people say I am? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and others the prophets. But what about you, he asked, and that's where we are. But what about you? Who do you say I am? And Peter answered, you are the Christ. And Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. And he spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. And Jesus turned and looked at his disciples and rebuked Peter. He said, get behind me, Satan. He said, you do not have in mind the things of God. There's a lesson, isn't it? You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. And then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, if anyone would come after me, here's the challenge, isn't it? If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life and lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and the gospel will save it. Why the scripture? We know that any time that we're loving, any time that we're teaching, any time that we're serving, we're going to get hurt. Every time. Many here today have been hurt. Beneath the jacket, beneath the shoes, beneath the perfume, beneath the smell, beneath the exterior that we can slick up and style and slick up the curls for some of you that used to have curls. Any islands, any rocks beneath the exterior? I guess that's why I like the prodigal son. Of the honesty of the man in the hog trough, but the beauty of the Father welcoming, and the arms were always open. But how many times and how many days and how many months, however length of time, that the Father had hurt because he had loved. In Mark chapter 8 and verse 34, must deny self and take up our cross and follow him. That's a statement of honesty. How Jesus Christ never bribed, he never manipulated, he never said, I'm going to get rid of the bitterness for you, because the bitterness is going to be there, but the Father will help us along the way, as the lesson in Bible class was, how do we comfort? And I think one of the greatest ways, I'm not trying to teach what the brother taught or what you taught, but we get to show up. We get to show up. Where do we need to show up? Nita Estes has a grandson, has two grandsons that work for, and they wear a badge. And one of these guys works for the Tulsa Police Department. Another one works for Fort Smith in the police department. The other day I was visiting with, what's his name that works at Tulsa? What's his, Jeremy? Jared. I asked Jared about, asked him where he was working in Tulsa, because I live in Tulsa. And I told him where I've been hanging out. And I'm not bragging now, because it's not the purpose. And I told him the name of the apartment complex, and he said, preachers don't go in there. Because I've had too many people tell me, say, Babby, why do you go there? Why did Jesus die for me? Because that place is packed full of sin and nasty and ugliness. And the other day, while I'm in that apartment complex, there was two pregnant ladies sitting over here on an air-conditioned unit. And here's the good news. And say, Mr. Ron, what scripture are you going to read today? Do you hear that? Man, that's the good news, isn't it? Can I do anything to change their life? But how many times have been burned? But what scripture are you going to share with us today? And then pretty soon, a couple of hairy legs showed up. If you don't know what a hairy leg is, they just hang out. They just hang out. And both these guys have been to jail, they've been to prison, they know all about that stuff, and they tell me all about the ugliness and the nastiness, but it started that I built a relationship with them when they were younger and continue that relationship. And one of them asked the question, said, Mr. Ron, what you been doing? He asked me that every time I see him. Mr. Ron, what you been doing? Mr. Ron, what you been doing? He finally answered the question. He said, I know. You've been out studying the Bible with people. Man, there it is, isn't it? How do we comfort somebody? We take the Word of God with us and we share it. But I've been blistered, I've been burned, I've been hurt, I've been spit on, I've been kicked. But what happened to Jesus? And what does He do? Any rocks here? I need to be challenged. I need to be challenged. Show up and share the greatest news that we get to share. The risk of getting close. The risk of loving and inviting people to share. And the risk of reading the Bible to homeless children, to fatherless children, as in this community that needs someone to come alongside. And love like Jesus loved us. You remember the story of the farmer who was early in the morning doing the chores, and he went by the chicken house, gather some eggs and check on what's happening in the chicken house. So he goes back in the house and said, honey, come here, follow me. Go with me to the chicken house. I want you to see something. So they go to the chicken house, and he said, put your hand on that hen. And she does. Said, she's dead. Weasel got in during the night and sucked all the blood out of her, and she still remained there, and the chicks are still alive. Because that hen never moved. That's what Jesus never did for us. He never moved. He stood firm. And He stood up. And if He would have moved, you and I would have died without the Christ, without the love of Calvary, without forgiveness of sins, and because He didn't move. And He said, as He looked down from the cross, He said, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. And it makes it plain, the sacrifice of Christ, how He endured the suffering on the cross. and he could have moved. And all the angels, the tens of thousands of angels that he could have called down while he was on the cross. But he wanted us. He wanted us to be saved, to be redeemed, to be forgiven. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for never moving, but showing up. And how many folks have been taught the message because of your love for mankind, for us. Thank you, God, for how you comfort us, how you encourage us, how you remind us of the possibilities that we get to become and the gifts that you've given to each one of us to become more like you every day. Thank you, God, for Calvary. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing.
Are you washed in the blood?
Please be seated.
Thank you. Want a song or two while you're preparing?
Yeah, if you will.
Okay, sure. Sorry. Sure, you sure. You bet.
There you got it.
See you, dude.
That'd be awesome.
Awesome.
Martin comes and she says, pray that I may have faith bigger than my